Welcome back in the Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is enjoying this terrific, terrific Tuesday. Well, it is Kentucky Derby week, and one of our favorite guests of the year, Barry Abrams, the ESPN horse racing analyst, host of the In the Gate podcast. We always have him on before the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. Barry, how are you today?
It wouldn't be spring if I wasn't on with you again. How are you?
We are doing great. Thanks. Before we get into this, because you know how we love to ask you horse racing and off the wall, are you a Game of Thrones guy?
My wife is. So I've gotten a bunch of it by osmosis, and I actually took a, hey, I get credit. I took her to a Game of Thrones musical experience event in person.
No, so that's love. That is love. That is not a Game of Thrones fan. Correct?
I would love to watch. It looks like an unbelievably well-produced show. I just don't have enough time.
Barry, you just did the Lord's work. I just won some quiche.
Barry, we had
our producer. We had a little pre-interview bet on whether Barry Abrams was pro or con Game of Thrones.
I just don't know how the blonde woman with the dragons could possibly lose.
Have you well, seen? Yeah, exactly. Once she takes her top off, she just every army everywhere would follow her.
Didn't that happen once on that show?
yes, it
several
did.
Times. Yes. All right, Barry. Got the Kentucky Derby up this week. Every year there's something special. What about this year's race is special in your eyes?
Well, this is really. You have one set of horses that are really, really good and could be very special, like we had last year with Justify. And then you have a bunch that are kind of in the middle. And the four horses that we're talking about, three of them are trained by, of course, Bob Baffert, who trained Justify and American Pharoah. Their names are Game Winner, Improbable, and Roadster. And the one who probably will beat them all three of them, is a horse named Omaha Beach, an easy name to remember. He is trained by somebody who doesn't come around the Triple Crown all that often, fellow Californian Richard Mandela, who has just been sensational. He's beaten two of those horses we mentioned already this year, and he could end up being a very special horse when all is said and done.
All right, and I mean, I'm just going off these odds that have been, and I don't know if they've adjusted since the start of this show, but Omaha Beach 4-1, Game Winner 5-1, Improbable 6-1, and Roadster 6-1. Like you said, those four horses among that, I mean, that looks pretty doggone wide open among those four.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how things go on Saturday, and the odds won't change until Saturday, the morning line will remain as it is. I think Omaha Beach could go off one of the longest-priced favorites in Derby history. The longest is about six and a third to one, which was in 2010. So I think amongst these four horses, they're all going to take money. They're all going to be strongly considered. And so you could end up with a very high-priced favorite, which means if you're a betting person, there's definitely opportunities to make money.
Of course, Barry, before we had you on, I did check the old Louisville 10-day forecast, a 90% chance of rain for Saturday. Who does that favor? And
it actually favors Omaha Beach. He's won two races already in the swap. One of them was his last win, the Arkansas Derby, when he beat Improbable. So the rain will be no problem for him. Not too many of these horses have run on really honest-to-goodness wet tracks other than he. You know, Pluke Parfait, who really isn't very strongly considered, finished second last November in the Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill Downs, where this derby will be held. It was a really soupy day there, I know, because I was there. But there really haven't been that many who have run on really wet tracks, and Saturday could be a really wet track.
Also today, the post was held. Your reaction to that? Which horse may have been helped the most and which may have been hurt the most?
Well, that's a good question. The one place you don't want to be in a race with 20 horses, and this is the only race in North America with 20 horses, is down near the rail. And that really didn't help War of Will, who I really didn't consider a factor here anyway. But I did like the horse in the second post, and his name is Tax. I know most people don't like the word Tax, especially in April and May, But this horse has been very, very consistent. And I thought if he had a good post and could get a good trip, he'd have a chance. Going from the two post is really going to hurt. And the horse next to him in the three is By My Standards, the winner of the Louisiana Derby. He's been kind of the wise guy horse amongst all the media on the backstretch at Churchill, but the three post is not doing him any favors.
You're listening to Barry Abrams, the ESPN horse racing analyst and host of the In the Gate podcast. You're listening to Barry here on Press Row on ESPN 105, One the Zone.
All right, Barry, you know I like to explore a whole bunch of different avenues, so let's buckle up. For a lot of us, when NBC throws its coverage to Randy Moss, we're thinking, what in the world is Randy Moss doing at the Kentucky Derby? When NFL comes on and they say we're going to Randy Moss, are you expecting to see the horse racing guy?
Well, put it this way. Randy Moss, the horse racing analyst, used to work here, and he's a guy who's very near and dear to my heart. There is hardly anybody more prepared for anything than he is for both racing and football, because Randy Moss, the ball guy, also covers football on NFL Network. He's a great dude. And I think that you would do well to listen to him, because he also not just talks about this, but for people who really watch racing, he actually puts out a power rating much along the lines of the ones you see in the daily racing form. And his figures are spot on. I mean, he really knows what he's doing.
All right. I have asked a couple of the golf experts we've had on here a similar question about their sport. The state of Tennessee is about to legalize online gambling in our state very soon. Could horse racing experience a monster jump in popularity if guys like me can put $50 through my smartphone on Omaha Beach to win on Saturday?
Sure, but you can do that now.
I know, yes. Anyway. I know you can now, but this now opened a lot of us, and I do that now. I mean, yes, you can do that now, but it opened up and free and take all the stigma off of it. It just feels like this could be an opportunity for horse racing to increase its profile. Is that fair?
Well, sure. I mean, it's up to the operators to try to bring the sports betting crowd over to racing, because racing has had something that the younger sports betting crowd is now craving, which is data.
Right.
That's what they use to bet. They care about fantasy, and they care about, you know, all these fancy ratios like the Corsi and hockey and all that kind of stuff. Racing's had that for 100 years, but if you look at the past performance chart, it looks like hieroglyphics. It's not like how many goals, how many assists, and all of that. So if those folks take the time and the effort to educate young sports bettors on how the past performance chart is read, or even simplify the past performance chart so it's easier to read, yeah, sure, that can happen. Will those operators do that? That's really the question.
Now, of course, we all know that the guaranteed foolproof method is which horse drops a deuce before they open the gates, right?
Well, the crowd certainly will play a role here with 150,000 people, and yeah, you can lose your lunch pretty quickly.
You're listening to Barry Abrams, the ESPN horse racing analyst here on Press Row. Barry, speaking of that, you never know. We may have a listener that has never been and is going for the first time. What is your advice for a first-time Run for the Roses attendee?
Well, I mean, the first thing you have to do is get there early, because there is not a lot of parking at Churchill, and you end up having to take buses and metal detectors and blah, blah, blah. So the first thing you have to do is go really early, because Churchill Downs is in a neighborhood. It's in an old, you know, neighborhood with narrow streets and houses and blah, blah, blah. And so getting around is very difficult. The one thing I advise you not to do is buy a mint julep. Those things are like drinking rocket fuel.
Amen, Barry. Amen.
Whatever. It's terrible. You can do a lot better than that.
It is funny because we've just come on the heels of a Masters, and everybody talks about the pimento cheese sandwich, and most everybody that tries it for the first time really likes it. But, yes, most people I know think the mint julep is absolute garbage. All right, here's something for you, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not. A friend of mine in the newspaper business for a long time, I've known him for a while, Pat Forty, who lives in Louisville, he was at the track on Sunday morning. And he said on Twitter that Tacitus and Country House rolled up on win-win-win, and all three of them wound up racing for several furlongs. I was wondering, how often does that happen, and have you ever kind of witnessed that, where during a random working workout, these horses just kind of go after it for a little bit?
Yeah, that does happen. I actually did see that. I watched it live as it happened. The two horses you mentioned, Country House and Tacitus, were doing 5/8 of a mile workout. They came upon another couple of horses who were doing a 4/8, a half mile workout, and yeah, they all ended up in tandem. It looked perfect, and it looked like they all got a lot out of it because, you know, they're competitive and they're trying to beat each other, and that's good practice. It can go wrong if the horses start to get really competitive and, you know, bumping and all that kind of thing. So it looked a lot less active than it was. I mean, the riders did it to the exercise riders, who, again, are not race jockeys. Their job is not to get involved in things like that. But they did a great job keeping the horses far enough apart that it wasn't really an issue. And yet, you know, it's like a football team that scrimmages. You want to try to replicate game conditions if you can. And this was really a game condition. It was terrific.
If you're an owner, though, put yourself in the owner's shoes. How nervous are you the longer that thing goes?
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm nervous every – I'm a partner in a three-year-old horse that's not running in the Kentucky Derby. But anytime that horse leaves his barn, I get nervous. I just want him to be safe. And every time I talk to the trainer and jockey of that horse, all I say is, not I hope you win, it's I hope you're safe. That's all I really care about. I consider that horse to be like my child. And a lot of these owners feel the same way about their horses, whether they're in the Kentucky Derby or not. So, yeah, it's nerve-wracking. But once it's done, you say, wow, that was great practice. That was awesome.
All right, Barry, you have delivered once again, but you know how we roll. We like to close with a rapid fire. Ready to play?
Fire away.
Your favorite name in this year's field?
I like Gray Magician, just because I always like gray horses.
Are you anti-American if you don't bet on Omaha Beach?
I don't know about anti-American. It's the most American race. If you bet everything on Master Fencer, the horse from Japan, you're probably not American.
Boo! Master Fencer! Boo! No one likes him!
All right, the worst horse racing movie you've ever seen.
The worst horse racing movie I've ever seen? Well, I don't know, National Velvet, the Grand National Steeplechase, to me, that just seems so cheeseball. I'll throw that one in there.
Are you a socialist if you bet on tax?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Now I'm going to have to rethink this. I guess maybe you are.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders has his entire fortune. His campaign nest egg is on tax.
All right, Barry, I've got to ask this one. Who is your pick for the winner?
I think Omaha Beach blows them away here.
USA!
So not even close.
USA! USA!
All right, well, let me add, as a follow-up to that, what are his chances? I mean, if he does win, and if he does win convincingly, how do things set up for him in a Triple Crown?
Well, the thing is, because horses don't really run 3 times in 5 weeks anymore, which is what the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont Stakes schedule is, the easiest race would be the next one, the Preakness, because a lot of these Derby horses won't show up, and the ones who do are just not the best horses show up in the Kentucky Derby, right?
Right.
So the winner of the Derby has a really good chance to win the Preakness. Now, 5 weeks later in the Belmont, a lot of these same horses will come back. They'll be rested. The Derby/Preakness winner won't be, and that is the question. Last year, Justify answered that question, but that's the question. I think Omaha Beach is good enough, but, you know, this is the toughest one to get through because you have 20 horses, a lot of traffic trouble, and the best horse doesn't always win, although the last 6 years, the best horse had.
All right, if you had a choice for a one-time sire price that you could charge, and the young horse gets the characteristic of the daddy, who's going to command more, Man of War or Mr. Ed?
Oh, goodness gracious. It depends on if you're betting with your head or your heart.
Right.
I mean, how can you bet against Mr. Ed?
I know, you got a talking horse.
Of course. How do you bet against him?
Thank you, Wilbur. You've been aces.
Barry, awesome, awesome stuff. Stay dry on Saturday. I saw that 90%, and I'm like, yikes, the mud could certainly affect this year's race, but we always, always, always appreciate having you on here in Chattanooga.
It is always sunny in Chattanooga. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Barry Abrams, the ESPN horse racing analyst, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.